During my pastoral training in seminary, I had a professor who was one of the most famous theologians in the world. And once a student said, Professor, more than anyone on the planet right now, you've grappled with the deep mysteries of God in Scripture. Out of everything that you've studied, what has been the biggest surprise? What do you sense is your most profound theological discovery? And my professor answered in a way that choked me up, and I'll never forget. He said, my biggest surprise and my most profound theological discovery is this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he's right. The most profound and deepest mystery in Scripture is contained in that song that I learned as a kid, that the all-powerful, all-holy, infinite God of the universe loves me and loves you. We're in the middle of a three-part message series called God's House, where we're discovering three places God resides and wants to meet with me and meet with you. Last time we saw that Jesus loves me so much that he wants to make my home his house. Jesus wants to meet with me in my home, in the middle of my household routine and my family relationships. But you know what? If I'm a follower of Jesus, it gets even better because Jesus promises that he wants to make my heart his home. Jesus promises this in the Gospel of John chapter 14, where he says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. Did you hear that? Jesus, if I follow him, that he is making my heart his home. It's amazing. But what does it mean? Well, let's think about this together and let's kind of tease out some of the implications here. Starting with this, if my heart is God's home, it means that God lives in me. That should shock you, both because of who you are and because of who God is. Think of the relative size difference between me and God. One way to think of it is the difference between the size of the earth and the sun. The earth is a big place, right? I mean, 22 hours at jet speed is how long it takes to go from JFK to Sydney, Australia. Our earth is a big place, but how many earths do you think would fit into our sun? Oh, maybe 1,000, maybe 10,000? Try 1,000,000 earths fit into our sun. The sun is 1,000,000 times greater than earth. But in terms of comparing me to God, it's not really an earth to sun comparison because I'm just a dot on planet earth. And so the comparison is really comparing me, this ping pong ball, to the sun. We're remembering that that God is so much bigger than the sun. God flicks out stars like our sun from his fingertips. And this infinite God is, of course, perfect in every way. And then there's me. Comparing me to God is really not comparing this ping pong ball to God, but me, I'm this busted ping pong ball. I'm because of sin, I'm dented and damaged and broken and busted. But here's the amazing thing. God, this all-powerful, infinite, perfect God, because of Jesus, says, I want to make my home with you. Even though you're a busted old ping pong ball, I want to live in you. Just think of this, that the all-powerful God wants to live in me. Think of what this means. The Apostle John wrote to some Christ followers who were pounded down by a world of persecution, who were beaten down by a world of discouragement and defeat, who were under a world of attack by the evil one himself. And John reminds them of who lives in them. John in 1 John chapter 4 says, don't you forget that the one who is in you is greater, so much greater than the one who is in the world. And today, maybe you need that same reminder. You need the reminder that even though you're a busted old ping pong ball, someone great lives in you. If you are in Jesus, Jesus is in you. The one who is in you is greater than any destructive force that you face in this world, including the destructive force of your own fear. A moment ago, I told you about my pastoral training. It was great training. But when I was starting off as a pastor, I just kept being thrown into situation after situation where I felt totally inadequate. My first funeral was for a young husband and father who was tragically taken from his family by a disease. And I remember thinking and crying out to God, God, I can't do this. What can I say to this young woman who has just lost her husband and looking to life alone? What can I say to these young kids who knelt by their bedside and wonder why their daddy was not healed? What can I say? And in my fear, I was just crying out to God, and I heard God whisper back to me saying, yes, your fear is a big problem. It's a big problem because I love this young widow and I love these young kids, and I've called you to communicate my love to them. Your fear is a big problem because your fear makes you focus on yourself when this is not about you. This is about my love for this young family. And I heard God whispering to me, your fear is a big problem, but I am so much bigger than your fears. And you need to decide what you believe right now. In you, who's bigger, your fear or me? And God at that moment gave me a glimpse of his immensity and how his indwelling infinity overcomes my inadequacy. And so I was able to do that first funeral and the hundreds since by not focusing on myself, but focusing on this great God who lives in me and who is greater than any of my fears, that God indwells me with his infinity to overcome my inadequacy. How about you? The one who is in you is greater than any destructive force that you're facing in the world today. Your financial problems, God is greater. Your family problems, God is greater. Your temper, your anger, your discouragement, your discontentment, your frustration, your worry, your fear, the one who is in you is greater than any destructive force in the world that you're facing today. And so, with your biggest problem in mind, God asks you, who's bigger in you, that problem or me? The one who is in you is infinitely greater than the one in the world. And if you believe that, this pandemic is a perfect time to prove it by trusting his infinity to overcome your inadequacy. Okay, if my heart is God's home, then it means that God lives in me, and it also means that God lives with me. When Jesus says that he and the Father make their home with me, Jesus is promising that God is with me wherever I go, that God will never leave me alone. And because God lives with me each moment, that means I can live with God each moment. I can wake up in the morning and bring my daily schedule to Jesus to get his guidance. If I get an email that is troubling, before I respond with anger or frustration, I can turn to Jesus and get his wisdom and patience. And as I'm faced with panic and problems throughout the day, I can turn to Jesus and receive his power and his peace right to that final moment of the day when my head hits the pillow. This is exactly what Jesus means when he says that he comes to make my heart his home. But let me just issue a word of caution here, because even though it is true that God lives with me to bless me every moment in every part of my day, I am believing a myth if I end up believing that God resides in me just to kind of follow me around to serve me and my selfish needs and desires. The Apostle Paul explodes this myth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where he says, "Your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you. So you are not your own." I love that last phrase. It makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? So you are not your own. When God moves into my heart, he moves in as the homeowner. God owns my heart because he paid for it with his own blood. So God does not move in as my servant. God moves in to make me his temple. And calling me God's temple is saying a lot, because in the Old Testament, God instructed his people to build the tabernacle or the temple. And then when it was constructed, God descended upon the temple with his glory, where the word glory is a fancy word that means God's radiant revelation of himself. God's presence in the temple was this constant, throbbing radiance of God's perfect personality, throbbing God's beauty and his goodness, his holiness and his power, his love and his mercy, his radiant, glorious personality. Well, God is still doing this. God lives in me to make me his temple, a walking, talking temple radiating with his perfect personality. That's why in this COVID situation, you shop for your elderly neighbor, because you are not your own, but you are God's walking, talking temple in your neighborhood, radiating God's personality. That's why even in lockdown, you are befriending that new kid to your high school. You're including the left out kids because you are not your own. You are God's walking, talking temple in your high school. Even in lockdown, you are radiating God's personality. Which leads to another exciting implication. If my heart is God's home, it means that God transforms me inside out. Remember those words from Jesus in John 14? He says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him." Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. When I hear those words, I think to myself, I love Jesus, but I hate how I look like this. I hate how I'm a busted ping pong ball and how I keep failing to follow Jesus' teaching, to love my enemies and forgive my debtors and turn the other cheek and give unselfishly, live boldly, and serve and love God completely. I just can't do it. And of course, that's absolutely true. No one can live like Jesus except Jesus, which is why Jesus makes his home in my heart, so that he can live through me, so that he can transform me from the inside out. In John chapter 15, Jesus tells his followers that the secret to living like him is to have him on the inside producing the fruit of his teaching in my life. And speaking of this vine and branch relationship, Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. See, Jesus makes my heart his home so that he can transform me from the inside out to produce more and more the fruit of his character so that over time I'm producing more of his love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Jesus, over time, changes me from this to this. And no, I did not learn this in seminary. And my professor would be proud. Okay, one last implication. If my heart is God's home, it means that God makes me family forever. The fact that God wants to make his home in your heart is proof positive that God loves you so much that he considers you family, forever family. When you're getting to know somebody, eventually you're going to get around to saying, so where do you live? Where do you call your home? If you are a follower of Jesus, you know what God says to you? God says, you want to know where I live? It's with you. You want to know where my home is? It is with you. Because you are my family. I am your dad, and you are my adopted daughter, my adopted son. You know, we began with John chapter 14, where Jesus says, my Father and I will make our home with you. This is Jesus' promise for this life. But earlier in the very same chapter, Jesus gives a promise for the next life. Jesus says, my Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? See, right now, Jesus makes his home in my heart. But at the same time, he's also preparing a forever house for us. In this life, Jesus makes his home in my heart. In the next life, I make my home with Jesus. In this life, God comes to my house. In the next life, I go to the Father's house because we are forever family. All of us long for home. Some of us long for home because we know how sweet it can be. Some of us long for home because we feel like we've never had one. Either way, we are all homesick. We're all looking for home. And maybe you've realized that you've never welcomed God into your heart's home. Well, the answer to your homesickness is Jesus. Believe in his death and resurrection for you. Receive his forgiveness on offer to you right now as his gift, and God will make his home with you. But you know, it's also possible to be a believer and feel a degree of homesickness today. Maybe you realize that you've drifted from God or wandered, or maybe you've put your relationship with God in kind of a corner of your heart's home. Well, the answer to your homesickness is Jesus. Come home to him and rediscover this most profound of all theological discoveries. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We began with this childlike song of God's love over us. Let's conclude with a song as well. As we close, listen to this song and receive it as God singing over you his blessing that makes you and your heart his home.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Amen.
may his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children.
May his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, and your going, in your weeping, and rejoicing. He is with you, he is with you.
Thanks for joining us in worship today. And I'd like to close in a word of prayer. So just do whatever you need to do to focus on God right now. Close your eyes and just focus on Him as we pray. If you have just realized that you have not welcomed God into your heart's home, just right now, reach out and receive Jesus by your belief in what He did on the cross for you. And welcome God into your heart's home. If you're a believer, then you are indwelt by infinity that can overcome your inadequacy. So right now, just yield yourself once again to this someone who is in you and is so much greater than anything that you're facing today. Put your trust in Him and His infinity over your inadequacy. Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that you make our hearts your home, not only for now, but forever. Amen. If you made a decision today to receive Jesus into your heart's home, would you please let us know just by using this faith form, this link that's here on the screen. Just let us know so that we can rejoice with you, answer any questions you may have, and support you along the way. Again, thanks for worshiping with us today, and see you next week.